Aaron McAleer is joining us, president of Project Bread, for an update on how the pandemic is impacting that organization's mission and how you might be able to help them. So, Aaron, nice to see you again.
Thank you, Joe, for having me on.
It's our pleasure. Unfortunately, I can't be in person for obvious reasons, but still, it's an important message, I thought, that we should focus on, certainly. And it's an issue, really, that's hitting at the very local level when it comes to food insecurity. How's it going at Project Bread?
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge crisis. You know, I like to point out that we had a food insecurity crisis before COVID-19. Too many of our friends and neighbors were struggling to afford food, but it's nearly doubled as a result of this crisis. So it's real, and we know certain communities, whether it's geographic or, you know, elders or children, there's certain groups that are most disproportionately impacted by this crisis as well.
For folks who don't know, maybe just a little synopsis of what Project Bread is.
Sure. Project Bread's a statewide anti-hunger organization. We focus on connecting people to food resources. We do that through our food source hotline, as an example, and work in health centers. And we also work with schools across the state to provide school meals. And we also advocate for policies to reduce any barriers that might exist to accessing food reliably and consistently.
And I always like to point out, too, that it had its origins, Project Bread, right here in the city of Quincy.
It did. The first Walk for Hunger was actually in Quincy.
And what is it now, 50 years later, something of that nature?
52. Wow. 52 years, yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's grown. The problem itself of food insecurity has not shrunk, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's been only exacerbated by this crisis.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about maybe some numbers, Aaron, about you know, how many folks that you have helped?
Yeah, I mean, so the numbers just around food insecurity are important to share. Right now, it's 10.2% of children, 21% of children are food insecure. That's double that it was before. It used to be 10.2%. So just, you know, to put it in context, Project Bread, we've seen a sixfold increase in calls to Project Bread's Food First Hotline. Those are individuals calling to seek food resources. We've focused on increasing SNAP, which is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. So we've seen a surge in applications there. And, you know, when we're talking about Quincy, we're seeing the effect there. You know, as an example, in February, we had 11 calls from Quincy. 11 callers in February were looking for food resources, Project Bread. In June, it was 133. So, you know, when we talk about a sixfold increase statewide, you can even see that the increase for Quincy alone was huge.
What would you say is the difference between Project Bread and the Greater Boston Food Bank, or do you work, you know, simultaneously together?
Yeah, we were just on a call with them before. We work very closely with the Greater Boston Food Bank. The food bank is a distributor of food. So they are getting food out to the 1,000, there's 4 food banks, but to the 1,000 food pantries across Massachusetts. Project Bread is different in the sense that what we're focused on is helping, you know, putting the person at the center. How is that person going to find existing food resources? Because it can be overwhelming. You know, if you have a household, you know, the newborn baby might be eligible for WIC, the first grader, school meals, you know, the mother-in-law might be eligible for Meals on Wheels. So what we're trying to do is help everybody in the household achieve food security by connecting them to various resources. And we, in particular, focus on the federal nutrition programs. You know, we've put a huge effort right now in getting folks signed up for SNAP, because once you're eligible for SNAP, you're going to be on it for the longevity of your own economic crisis. So if you're out of work for the next 3 months, once you're on it, you will continue to receive it. And it also makes you eligible for a number of other programs.
Have the eligibility requirements for SNAP changed because of the pandemic?
So there's been a lot of barriers eliminated. So there's no in-person interview requirements, as an example. They're expediting applications, basically making it easier to apply. But we have been pushing for an increase in SNAP benefits by 15%. That was passed by Congress in May. It's been sitting on the floor of the U.S. Senate since May, unfortunately. Mitch McConnell has not taken it up. So we think, you know, one of the challenges that we know right now is a lot of families that are on SNAP can make it, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, and then they have to go to the food pantry to supplement. What a 15% increase has done in past economic downturns is allows people to be sustained through the entire month. And during a pandemic, that's important, right? If we can keep people, you know, purchasing food just at the grocery store rather than having to, you know, navigate a lot of different resources, that's better for our whole community.
Yeah, I know a lot of communities, including here in Quincy, continued to distribute meals at schools for students, you know, during summertime, now that schools are somewhat back in session. Has that helped that situation some?
It has. So Project Bread, in partnership with the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, helped set up those programs across the state. There's over 500 across the state right now, and I know Quincy, I think, has about 19 alone. So these sites are for any kid, 0 to 18, no identification required. Families can pick up a few meals at a time. It's just, they're really a critical resource. The U.S. Census did a survey over the summer, and it was, school meals were listed as the number one resource for families that were facing food insecurity. So they have filled a huge gap. That said, they can feed more, right? And so if there's any folks listening on here that are struggling with feeding their children, absolutely go to those school meal sites. Visit projectbread.org. We have a map, but you can also call our food source hotline, 1-800-645-8333. We can let you know the days and the hours are open.
Super. Could you repeat that number again, Erin, please?
Yes, it's 1-800-645-8333.
Super. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know here in Quincy alone, tens of thousands of meals were distributed. Like you say, no questions asked. It was a critical resource, and it was done effortlessly by the administration, you know, by the schools, really seamlessly. They had a great system in place, social distancing, you know, all of the different protocols for safety, and it went off without a hitch.
Yeah, the school nutrition staff have been wonderful. If you do visit a site to pick up meals, say thank you. They've really, I mean, it was in March where they had to figure out how to, you know, stop feeding kids in a school cafeteria and deliver it to homes or set up to-go models or drive-through, and they were truly innovative because they know these meals matter so much to kids. So school nutrition staff deserve a lot of credit. They've been heroes during this crisis as well.
Yeah. I know you just recently held a conference call with Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley regarding the disproportionate way that food insecurity is impacting people of color and different socioeconomic levels. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, we know, as I said earlier, that children are most disproportionately impacted by food insecurity. It's 1 in 5 children in Massachusetts. For Latinx and Black households, it's double that. So in our research focused on East Boston, which is where Project Bread is headquartered. But what we found is that, you know, housing insecurity is, you know, directly the intersectionality with housing insecurity, food insecurity, childcare. And what we also found in our research is that during the last economic downturn, the Latinx population never fully recovered. And so when COVID came, they were still recovering from the last economic downturn. And so what we're hoping and what the purpose of that conversation was is let's do it right this time. Let's make sure that the recovery is for all. Unfortunately, you know, the programs, many of the programs I just talked about, SNAP in particular, are not eligible for individuals with immigration status. So that's a problem. Folks are going hungry, and we need to make sure that they are able to access food. School meals, again, no identification required, but WIC also is open. But we really need to think through what it means for our entire community when we're allowing certain populations to go hungry.
Yeah, did the Congresswoman mention any kind of legislation that she might be sponsoring or supporting that would address that?
Yeah, I mean, she's been unbelievable. She championed pandemic EBT, which passed the Congress and the U.S. Senate and was signed by President Trump earlier this spring. That is an example, provided a card to the 500,000 kids in Massachusetts to receive free and reduced price lunch to be able to go to their families to go to the grocery store and food. And so that's an example of every student in Massachusetts who gets free and reduced price lunch was eligible for that program. And we know that really made sure that folks were able to sustain themselves. So she has been a champion for these policies during COVID. And we know going forward that she will be leading on equitable policy solutions for all.
Yeah, was any determination made, Erin, as to why it's so disproportionate in that community?
Yeah, there's a lot of different factors. I think that, you know, one thing that we've always known is that, you know, not everybody has savings, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, for most Americans, they don't have $500 in savings. And so what we saw that in the East Boston community, you know, when crisis hits, they don't have assets or savings to fall back on to help sustain them, you know, for losing a few paychecks. And so missing one, two, three paychecks is, that's it. That's it. That folks are suddenly really in dire circumstances. We also know individuals in the service sector have been detrimentally impacted for all economic downturns. This one, obviously, exponentially. But I think what it really does come down to is cost of living in our state is extremely high. East Boston is a very expensive community, and wages just haven't kept pace. You have to work 80 hours a week at minimum wage to afford. If you work 80 hours at minimum wage in any place in Massachusetts, you cannot afford a two-bedroom apartment. And so the math just isn't adding up. And then you take away no assets and savings, and folks become food insecure because you have to pay your rent, you have to pay your heat, you got to pay your child care, and then food often becomes a thing that you cannot afford.
Yeah, I'm concerned at all about, I know the moratorium on evictions is due to expire soon. There's a proposal, you know, to extend it, but I'm sure that's a worry that's hanging over a lot of people's heads in addition to not being able to afford food.
It's really, really concerning. I really, you know, housing advocates have been leading the charge on this, and Project Bread's obviously supporting them. But it's very, very concerning that we know a lot of folks have already struggled to pay rent in August and September. So come October, there will be a lot of people without homes, and that's not what you want during a pandemic.
Yeah. How much of a problem are food deserts, and particularly in urban and communities and, you know, in communities of folks of immigration?
Yeah. It's absolutely an issue. I think one of the, one thing we've also identified is that there might be a grocery store in certain communities, but it might not be an affordable one. And that's an issue that very concerning. But absolutely, there's certain communities where the only food resources available might be a convenience store that doesn't offer all of the food that's available. And transportation to food is always a huge challenge. That's one reason these school programs have been incredible, because they've been doing delivery models or bringing food to housing authorities or where folks live. But often food might be available, but it isn't accessible. And we need to make sure food is always accessible as well.
Yeah, and I know a focus too has been on, especially at the food pantry level, nutritional food, especially now more than ever. It's so important to keep ourselves as healthy as possible.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, Project Bread has always been really, really focused on that. We want to make sure that we're providing food, but that it's also meeting, it's nutritious food, especially for our kids. We know the long-term health implications if they don't have access to healthy and nutritious food. And so one thing we've been doing is, you know, working on recipes for these school sites, because these are different meals, right? They're to go, right? Sandwiches and yogurts and apples. And so really putting recipes out there that we know kids will eat, which is important. There's no sense making something healthy that families will toss. We want to make sure kids are eating these meals, but so kids will eat, but that are also meet their nutrition requirements.
Sure. So what can folks do, Erin, to help Project Bread?
I mean, first and foremost, if you know anyone who's food insecure, please send them to Project Bread. You know, the hotline number again is 1-800-645-8333, or go to projectbread.org. We list lots of different resources and programs that are available. This is a huge crisis, and nobody should be worried about asking for help. There are programs out there that can help you. So I would say that's number one, continue to promote resources like ours. And then the second is always donating. These models have been upended by this crisis. I know, you know, Food Bank and Food Pantry Partners have talked about volunteer shortages and whatnot. And what we have found the best is to bring in paid staff to make sure that we're able to keep these programs operational. So donating to Project Bread is always really welcome as well.
Okay. Anything else you think we should touch on today?
That's it. Joe, thank you so much for always inviting me to speak with you and for sharing, putting a spotlight on this unfortunate issue.
Yeah, no, it's our pleasure. Happy to help. Please, if we can do anything else, don't hesitate to reach out, and we'll be there for you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Joe. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.